Welcome to Forward, a podcast by EasyCare, where we protect what moves you with your host, Corey Smith, and co-host, Eric Howdige. The views and opinions expressed by guests in this podcast may not be those of the host or EasyCare and APCO Holdings Brands.
Welcome to Forward. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Director with EasyCare, joined as always by my partner in crime, Eric Howdige. Eric, welcome to Forward.
Thank you so much, Corey. We have a great show ahead of us. Cannot wait to get this going.
All right. We'll introduce our guest. Don't keep me waiting.
Today, we have Gene Reitebach. And Gene, tell our audience a little bit about you, your title, and the company you work for.
So I actually am working as a brand strategist in retail automotive, and I really focus on voice of the customer, how you can actually put it into place, put an infrastructure into place to use it to the benefit of the dealerships or the auto group. I've been in the dealership space inside the dealership for 12 years, but I've been in brand strategy and in marketing for 27, I'm dating myself, 27 years now.
What are you, 35?
I am. How did you know?
Well, Gene, thank you so much for being a part of this podcast. We're going to title this podcast From Reviews to Revenue, Service in the Age of AI. I'm super excited about this. So you're a big advocate of voice for the customer. Mm-hmm. How do you define it? And why does it matter more than ever in fixed ops?
So at the simplest terms, voice of the customer takes customer feedback and turns it into very clear actions so that a dealership can run smoother, can make less mistakes, and can keep our customers coming back. And as a result, then it creates a very nice marketing opportunity from the voice of the customer, because remember now, we're in a review culture. And so for the last decade, most people will go to see reviews prior to going into a place. And so when things are going well, those customers are your most believable marketers. And so that is the loop that's created when you're able to take voice of the customer to manage it well, and then to use it for marketing purposes so that you are not just acquiring guests and retaining guests, you're actually creating it's a process that feeds itself.
Ooh, okay. I like that.
You said review culture, and those are powerful terms in the industries that we are at, especially when you're talking about customers and you're talking about retention. Those are really big words to use in our business, and there's data behind it. But when you're talking about technology and you're talking about integrated systems that we have, how do you see the technology like AI affecting the day-to-day operations of the service drive? Do you feel that they're helpful or overwhelming?
I am very excited about where we're going with technology, because I feel like the voice of the customer, which again is just really listening to what they're saying about their needs, their expectations, their frustrations. So now let's remember, it's not just surveys. We often think of surveys, or we just may even think of Google reviews or a dealer rater review. It's also phone calls, it's service visits, it's even body language in a store. So whatever it is that we learn from our customers, if we're able to design processes then that deliver on those expectations and do it consistently, we not only do what is like, that's just normal business. That's just good business. That's foundational. But now let's move into your next part of the question. And that is, how are some of these new technologies making it so important for us to pay attention? Well, we know that reviews are a signal that drives local search. And it's been that way really for 10 years. So when I say that, I'm talking about the volume of your reviews, the recency of them, your star ratings, and your responsiveness, how quickly you're responding and how personal you are in that. So that review content is where Google AI rankings, that's where it's pulling from in order to get what this is a word they use. It's called sentiment.
Oh, okay.
And it's the sentiment of those who are our valued guests and what they think about what we say we're going to do and what they actually experience. That's your review culture. And so it drives what is known as, like, I'm going to use a big, you know, the search generative experience. Okay. So that's this new word. That's the jargon word that we use when we're talking about when you type in like a question in natural language and you get the AI overviews, right?
Right.
So now we learned that the reviews and the customer sentiment is a very large ranking for signals that are driving those AI overviews.
Wow. Okay. So
a big deal.
That is a huge deal. So you're so perfect for this podcast. I love that. So Eric and I, what we teach in our classes at its core is customer experience, human behavior, body language, meeting the customer where they're at and making them feel special. So when they leave, they say, I can't wait to come back, right? It's almost like that Ritz-Carlton or Disney experience.
Yes.
How are LMSs and AI transforming the way customers' reviews are used by search engines? And what does it mean for the dealer?
So their reviews are going to boost local search rankings for your dealership and then across the board for your auto group if you have a consistent process in place. If you have the infrastructure to handle it well so that you are getting the volume you need, you do have the recency of reviews, you are maintaining a very high star rating, and you're really responsive. So then what's going to happen as a result of that is even the language that is used in consumers' reviews of our dealership, those language patterns become almost keywords. And so then they're going to make you as a dealership discoverable for maybe what you're good at. If there's a pattern that's demonstrating that you're really good at quick oil changes, or that you're fair, or you're thoughtful and professional, that's the language signals that Google's going to use to demonstrate then in AI summaries what you're known for, what you're good at. So as a brand strategist for a dealership or an auto group, again, you want to make sure that what you're saying is going to be their experience, matches the in-person experience, and is coming back to you in language that says, yes, you're on target. Or what you want to be able to do is you want to be able to use your reviews in such a way so that the data is reliable, meaningful, and measurable, and demonstrates to you what stores, what departments, what persons or processes are not working so well, so that you don't waste your time and you know where you need to go, especially if you're at the platform level. You know what store you need to go to, you know what department you need to go to, and you know what process you need to look at to start to do those incremental, you know, experiments to see if you could bring the expectations closer to that five-star experience.
Okay. That's great. I love that.
And speaking on incremental experiences or experiments, I'm sorry, what are small changes service teams can make today that'll have a big impact on customer sentiment on online reputation?
The number one is consistency. And you both know that, right? So consistency. So again, what does that rely on? It relies on processes, a willingness to look at them, a willingness to adapt. It really relies on feedback from your team. It is a lot of investment into that teams education and not just the technical education. I was just talking about this on another forum, and I was saying that when I go into a service drive to get my car fixed, so I drive a BMW, I go to the BMW dealership, and I go there because at the BMW dealership, they are subject matter experts on a BMW. So when I go to them, I'm going to them because I'm stressed about something going wrong. I want to go to the experts and I want them to talk to me in such a way so that I come away and understand what needs to be done. I want them to talk to me in my language. So I said that I could do more agreeing and less thinking, right? And so when we think of those things, we have to also think about consistency in giving explanations for things in such a way that the person on the other side of the service desk can hear it. Because it's not what you say, it's what they're hearing. And so I think that we have to move into some, I love this question, by the way, some soft skills training, some training in communication, some training in asking a question after you're done with an explanation. So is there anything about that you would like me to repeat is much better than do you understand that, right?
Oh, okay. I like that.
And right. I want you to be able to make this decision alongside me. So I'm sure I may have just given you a lot of information. Let's go over some of the parts you would like me to repeat so that we're making this decision together. As a guest in a service drive, I always want to know that I'm part of the decision-making. And when I know that I am, when I know that I'm given permission to ask questions, and when that happens consistently, every time I go there with every service advisor that I meet, if I'm given that same kind of experience across the board, each time I go, it's going to knock it out of the park. I'm going to go, I'm going to tell my neighbors, I'm going to tell my friends, I'm going to tell my family, and I'm going to write reviews. I'm going to fill out surveys. You know, that's what's going to happen. So that consistency means, and it means continual training. It's not like we're ever done. I'm not done. You're not done.
No, I'm never done.
Learning. We're all going to be learning, particularly with AI. So let me give you a for instance. This is going to get interesting. I might jump on one of these questions. What are we going to do when we make a suggestion? It's a recommendation. And that guest pauses, grabs the phone, and then starts to put something into their large language model chatbot.
Oh, and see if they really need it or whatever. Do some research.
Right. We're going to see that start to happen. I saw this funny explanation. It says, instead of saying, well, I have to go home and talk to my wife, they said, can you excuse me for a minute? Because I have to talk to my chatbot.
Okay. I love where this is going. And Eric and I talk about this all the time in our classes. I can sit here and say I'm the best communicator in the world. But if you don't understand what I'm communicating, am I the best communicator in the world? No. I've got to learn how I can communicate with you. And it's not going to be the same as three other customers that I just dealt with. You're different than they are, right? Mm-hmm. Let's take a deeper dive into process. You've mentioned it a couple times. Are you talking having a written process or just something that's trained on a process for talking to customers about reviews, about giving the customer a world-class experience to foster that review, and which is going to lead to retention?
So first I'm talking about training that would go along the lines of really even encouraging lunch and learns.
Okay.
Where you would have a group that gets together and talks about what were difficult situations and shares how they're handled well. These are the communication soft skills that you don't want to do formally. You almost want to do them informally. You want to do them among each other. You want to, because you want, to your point, all these different scenarios happen in the service drive because all customers are unique. Mm-hmm. And so you're not going to be able to necessarily put together like one structured 45-minute presentation about, you know, how to communicate in a manner where you're communicating for them and not just doing your job at delivering information. You actually want to get to understanding. And so that takes practice. And so that kind of practice is something that could happen at a lunch and learn. So what I would say is a very actionable thing, if I could provide one, take 3 or 4 really bad 1-star reviews and make them the topic of a lunch and learn and get together and talk about what could have been done, what can be done, where okay. some of the friction exists, and think tank it. And then we learn from each other what are some really great statements. Like, I like a lot of podcasts where I listen to people who are just excellent communicators, and I'll borrow their phrases. I've never heard them before. So the same thing's going to happen on a team. We can borrow one another's phrases when we know that it worked. So lunch and learns is informal. It's something I would encourage. If it can be facilitated, even better. I mean, particularly if you get someone like a shop foreman who may have that technical experience, but also is used to working on team dynamics. If that person goes in there and kind of sits in and is part of it and facilitates it, that's super cool. If you have a technician who enjoys to mentor service advisors, even better. The two of them can then learn where even their language causes problems before it even reaches the guest.
I love that. Okay.
Barbecues are good for that too, right?
Yeah, barbecues are great. How can service managers start turning their service lane into a review generating machine? And what do you have for any real world examples you've seen that work?
Well, what we used was we had a meet and greet. And at the end of the meet and greet, we did want to ask that question, did this feel thoughtful and professional for you today? Well, that's going to give us a very good idea of whether it did or didn't. We're also acknowledging to them that those are our two goals. I think they're going to let us know at that point. So if there's some sort of phrase or some value that that particular dealership really holds high as what they want to deliver every time, to just at the end of it say, we're really grateful that you chose us. You had so many choices. I just want to ask before you leave, did this feel thoughtful and professional today? Because that was my goal. Now, that would be for our auto group, which had thoughtful and professional as our goals. You know, each group might have some sort of language or sentence that they might want to ask so that they get real-time feedback. And then that real-time feedback should also be trained. If I receive feedback that's negative, what do I do then?
I become negative.
I don't want you to leave like that.
I become defensive.
Yeah. I don't want you to leave like that. Let's, you know, let me bring over my service manager. Let's talk about this together. Let's not, you know, we don't want to allow them to walk out the door and give the 1-star review.
Right.
So having that phrase is a very good idea. So we did that. That's just one thing we did. We also always asked, please let us know how we did. We love Google reviews. And not only did we tell them we love Google reviews, but we had all these TV screens all over the dealership. And I made sure to use all of the employee photographs. And all of those TV screens every month were updated with photos of service advisors, technicians, salespeople, you name it, the hospitality desk. And next to their picture was a person's first name and a little snippet from a 5-star review. And you just have them scrolling through over and over. And we had it in the lobby. We had it on digital poster boards in the guest lounges. We had it in the service drives behind the advisors. And so as you're standing there, you're actually you know, if you're waiting on something, you're actually reading, oh, I had a great experience. I had a great experience. Well, now if I'm a customer and I'm just like, all these people are having these great experiences, but today didn't feel like that for me. I'll be honest. I'm going to say, you know, I have to really talk to you about something. This didn't really go the way I wanted it to go. And then we need to know that we have to go into de-escalation mode and address them in sincerity. So, I mean, that's really, that's actionable from asking, knowing how to ask, but saying, you know, using a specific word. And when you have a specific phrase, think about this. If every time I go to the dealership, they say, did this feel thoughtful and professional? Now I go to the next person. Now it's Chris. Chris says, did this feel thoughtful and professional, Mrs. Reitelbaugh? Yes, it did. Now Tina says, does this feel thoughtful and professional? You know, 6 months later, I'm like, wow, they're really all about this thoughtful and professional thing. Like, it's a real thing here.
Yeah.
So even if they get it wrong, I'm going to recognize that consistency is there for the caring. And I want to know they care more than I want to know as a human being that they did something right or had a bad day and got it wrong.
Right. Okay.
I hope people are taking notes because I am. There's so many, there's so much great information that you're giving. I mean, lunch and learn. I love that, right? It's, you can take that and apply it tomorrow. These are times that you can put these things into action right the following day. I want to ask you, you mentioned in your post that search engines are using reviews more than ever. Mm-hmm. How do you think this influences customers' trust before they even walk in the door?
I think it's going to come down to, again, the expectations. So if they're reading these fantastic reviews, they're going to come in the door with these expectations. I want a 5-star experience too, because that's what they deliver. Mm-hmm. Does the dealership have the ability to remain consistent in their delivery of that experience? That's how it's going to affect them. So the expectations are going to go up. Or let me ask you a question. If you go to a hotel, are you looking at the 1 stars or are you usually looking at the 5 stars? You reading first.
For somebody who every now and then spends times in hotels, yes.
Every week is what he's saying.
No, it's definitely for me. I use that system.
It's rating, right?
Question. It's the reviews right off the back. If it's anything under a 4 point whatever, you're generally not even looking at it.
And do you scroll through, like, do you pick like lowest rating to highest rating? Cause I always go right to the lowest ones.
Exactly how I look at it when I'm looking for something, especially if I'm on the move, I just go up to star rating second. This is even the next part that's crazy. First to me is a star rating. Second is the proximity of where I'm going to be at. So mm-hmm. Driving distance doesn't matter to me as long as I'm getting a great experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so we know that in a Google profile, in the rating section, you'll have high to low. I'm never going to go to a hotel or a restaurant or anywhere for that matter without reading all of the 1-star reviews. What I want to learn is when something goes wrong, because we know that businesses aren't buildings, they're human beings, and human beings make mistakes. How do the other human beings in the buildings fix those mistakes? And that's what I want to read in my 1-star reviews. So that's another thing I want to share. And that is that I actually loved the 1-star reviews. I loved to get them. They were an opportunity. It said to me, okay, here's where improvement can happen. Here's where incremental improvement can happen. Here's where we know we could focus our training and our time on. And so you get the opportunity to call them. And so what we did was we called any 2-star and under. They received a phone call. So we had a tag team. I got the indication that we got a low one. So with the general managers, if it was on variable, it would be our GSM. If it was on the fixed side, it would be, you know, parts, or it would be the service manager. And we would all support one another and say, you know, do you want to make the phone call? Do you want to make the phone call? Who wants to make the phone call? And sometimes we'd sit in on each other's phone calls. Sometimes no one wanted to make the phone call, and then I would make the phone call. I always handled the I want to talk to the owner phone call, and he's traveling, right? He's at his 20 group. So now I'm going to make that phone call. And I'm going to say that they've reached the right person. I work directly with the owner of the company, but right now I work for you. So please let me know what I need to do to listen and learn about how you felt, not what went wrong. First, how you felt, because I knew in those phone calls, if I got them to talk about how they felt, we could get that out of the way. Because if you don't get that out of the way and you get too technical, you're already setting yourself up for a communications disaster. How did they feel? And then I would be very quiet. Sometimes they'd even say, are you there? And I'd say, yes, I'm taking notes. That's important. They knew I was listening. And so then they continued, and I'd hear it. I'd hear their frustration start to go down as I listened. And then they were ready to chat. And that's when we got to solutions time. And so sharing that with some of my colleagues then started to use that technique as well. And oftentimes we were able to turn it around. They would even change their reviews. We'd never asked them to. And we weren't afraid of it staying a one star because we could put in there, thanks so much for talking with us. It was really spectacular that you were so generous with your time to have the conversation. And I'm excited to be able to say hello to you when you come back on Thursday. So they're seeing me say, I'm going to be there to say hello to you. You are coming back. You were generous with your time. This was valuable to us as an organization.
Oh, I love that. So looking ahead, how can dealerships proactively prepare for the growing influence of AI? We've been talking about it all week, right? On customer acquisitions.
Well, again, it's very important that I think there's infrastructure or a system to voice of the customer. Because again, I think that many dealerships may stop with like a reactive response to feedback. They manage their reputation versus actually using it as reliable, meaningful, and measurable data so that they can make improvements that keep that brand strength, you know, front and center so that people do return. Mm-hmm. And also are raving fans. They're our best spokesperson for us to acquire guests from their neighborhood and their mom's circle, their schools, their communities, right? And so what's really important is that you have to have a system or an infrastructure in place so that you're collecting your competitive data, like you know where you stand in ratings to those around you. Okay. That you're seeing the patterns in the words so that you have an understanding of their expectations. You have to teach those that are using the phone and calling them listening skills. It's hard when you're so technically advanced, when you're such a subject matter on a vehicle, not to overwhelm a person. So you have to teach them some skills, like particularly the pause. The pause is great. 5 seconds before you respond, right? So that you could slow your brain down and you don't give them a technical response and you focus on the solution, and the solution is to fix it, to have them come back and to then satisfy them. Here's the other thing that's important. If reviews and feedback live in an office or on a floor or in a department, and it never, that good information never gets transferred to empowered hands. And you know what I mean by empowered hands. Those that are in a position to affect change. Those that can say, is this a people, a process, you know, where is it that we have to go and make an adjustment? If it never gets to empowered hands, it's already not going to be a voice of the customer strategy. And the other thing is you have to overcome politics. So there are those that really don't want anyone to pay attention to what some of the customers are saying. And you have to really overcome those politics by saying, this is good. So in other words, voice of the customer strategy and caring about customer experience is always led at the highest level. It comes from a consensus, an absolute leadership consensus, that this is what matters to us. And yet at the same time, we know it's executed where? It's executed on the front lines. So we already know the consensus is here, it matters, but the execution is on the front lines. So there's another part of communication that needs to happen. The repetition that it's always, someone needs to own it. And it can't just be one person. Someone needs to own it, but someone needs to be doing handoffs to empowered people. And those empowered people have to hand it off to the next person who needs to be empowered to do something with it all the way down to the bottom line. And the bottom line is, what's going to be the change maker? Where are we going to go from just talking about this to fixing this?
Right. I love that.
And then a lot of times also, like in our service advisor meetings, we would make sure that we kept an open forum in those meetings for them to bring us their voice of the customer information, because they have so much of it. And so do the salespeople. And so really committing to listen on an executive team, at the platform level, at the leadership level, like it's not top down, bottom up, it's everything. It's
absolutely, it's everything.
It is an undertaking where there has to be 100% commitment.
What KPIs should service departments track when it comes to customer experience and review generation?
So I think that this is a very interesting question. I love this question. I think that if I were in a service advisor role, I know what I need as my KPIs. But I don't necessarily know what I would see on what would be my performance review for my service manager, right? What are his KPIs? And so yet at the same time, my job, and I am most successful if I hit mine, but I also with my team help him hit his.
Ooh.
And so when it comes to KPIs, I'm going to say to you that I'm going to refrain from giving you one or two. Like a lot of people like to hang their hats on one or two. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say, I want to know what mine are. So, you know, CSI, CSE, whatever you call it, right? Net promoter score, depending on your department. Those are some that are important. You want to also be able to track the voice of the customer by store, by department, and also by person if possible.
Oh, you know? I love all of this.
Okay. So those are, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of KPIs, not necessarily, I'm not going to land on one, but I'm also going to really emphasize this, especially if I have a career there. If I'm a service advisor, I know that I want to hit a lot of numbers, but I also would prefer to know what our units and operations percentages are. Like, I would like to know from even my level, I would like to be respected enough to be brought into even the highest strategy level. Like, where are we with our market? I mean, that's a business KPI. That's your market share. I'm part of the team that's trying to make sure that that stays above board at benchmark. So like share, even at the highest levels, like I think information sharing, if done on the right cadence and explained in the right language, makes everybody a business person.
I love all that. So we're going to switch gears here a little bit because we're right up against the time. I want to know, or Eric and I want to know, what do you do for fun outside of the industry? What is one thing that like gets you just as passionate as the industry does?
So I wake up every morning and there's three things that make me jump out of bed. And so the first one is my family. So my husband is he's been 25 years in the business as a general manager. My two sons, one is at Clemson Honors, the other is in high school. So doing things with them is really, we do memory making, like it's a very intentional thing in our family. So that's my first one. My second one is I love to run. I just love, I've done like 5 or 6 different half marathons. I'm now switching to biking. Just the other week, I did 42 miles for the first time because I have an upcoming 50 miler bike ride to do.
Nope, I'm not doing that with you.
So I love to be active because I think I've been blessed to be in, when you're in a smaller auto group, you tend to take on a whole bunch of roles, or you at least help each other out so much that your head could get filled with a lot of different things. And so I think that my exercise really helps me to, you know, get out of my head and just get in nature and unwind a bit. And then I have to say that for me, learning is play. So I'm usually taking a class. I am hopping on forums with others. I'm going to different events. Right now, I'm taking a class in AI prompting. Okay. So learning to write prompts specific for our space of retail automotive. I was heavily involved in a group called Engage Women Auto. So that was a 52-week leadership program. That was awesome. Extraordinary. That's coming up again for women who want to do that. It was the creation of Liza Borges and Danielle Delgado. And it's specific to those women who are in retail automotive who want to make a career there.
Okay.
So that training was heavy lifting. It was
field
training. So, I mean.
Those are all
gardening.
Awesome.
Gardening's another thing. I boulder garden. That's a weird thing.
Do you ever sleep?
I do sleep. Actually, I make sure to get my 7.5 hours.
Okay.
But I use every part of my day.
I guess you do. What are 3 key takeaways from this episode that people that are listening can put into action right now?
Don't be afraid of AI.
Okay.
My takeaway would be get enthusiastic as a learner about it. The same way that we had to when, you know, I was around when Google was born. So, you know, it was like, and now Google is like it's a verb. So, you know, I think it's going to be one of those kinds of transitions again. So I'd say be curious and be enthusiastic and jump in a little bit, you know, pace yourself. That's one takeaway. The next one is pay attention to customers in a way that you may never have before, as if your business depends on it, because it does. That's it. And then
people get in touch with you.
LinkedIn is a great way to get in touch with me. Yeah. And then the final thing I would say is be part of community. We all learn so much more from each other. So those are my 3.
I love that. Thank you. EasyCare is a total performance provider working alongside your team to achieve your goals in F&I and across the dealership. We are an award-winning provider and administrator of F&I products and can provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock the potential of your dealership. For more information on EasyCare or to be a guest on Forward, please feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. That is all the time that we have for today. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll end with this last question, like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Absolutely. Please. That would be great.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Forward, a podcast brought to you by EasyCare with Corey Smith. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes are released on the 5th and 20th of every month.